I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The quote that every member of the media should be running with tomorrow should be this. Biden, Joe Biden said, quote, I have never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. He said that during the campaign. He said it because there were people asking questions about how his son, a crackhead, was getting all these massive business deals trading off of the family, the mafia of Joe Biden, his brother, who's the bag man, and his son, who became the new bag man with all of these deals. You fast forward to the laptop. We all know what's on the laptop, right? Media looked the other way. In fact, when the story broke, Facebook and others, Twitter decided, oh, no, you can't even share that article. They didn't even say the article was incorrect or factually incorrect or inauthentic or any of their BS rules that they come up with. No, they just said this is too damning to Joe Biden. We want to be president, so you can't share this article. We now have new information, and everybody in the media should be running with a story. Don't worry, they won't. That's exactly why I'm telling you about it right now. New revelations of Hunter Biden's trips through the Joint Base Andrews Air Force Base, where the planes of the president, the vice president, take off and land from. This is proof, what I'm about to tell you, of corporate media's utter corruption. Representative Devin Nunes, Republican from California, the ranking member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, came out with revelations that President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, took more than 20 trips through Joint Base Andrews. And it's more proof of utter corruption of the establishment media. The revelation of Hunter Biden's trips through Joint Base Andrews is further proof of the corporate media utter corruption and blinding partisanship, Nunes said to Breitbart News. They dismissed, ridiculed, and censored reporting on Hunter's obvious conflicts of interest for the sole purpose of helping Joe Biden's election prospects. The corporate media has fully merged with the Democratic Party, and the reporting is indisguisable from crude Democratic talking points. Now, Nunez's comments come on this matter after revelations about Hunter Biden's travel practices when his father was vice president to former President Barack Obama were published Saturday from a new book, Breaking the News, exposing the establishment media's secret deals and hidden corruption. In particular, the book from the Breitbart News editor-in-chief, Alex Marlowe, revealed Secret Service travel records that showed Hunter Biden took 411 trips. Let me say that again. Secret Service travel records show that Hunter Biden took 411 trips, including 20 to 29 foreign countries. And some of those foreign countries were hit multiple times. So he went to 29 foreign countries with his dad and 23 trips through Joint Base Andrews. from 2009 to 2014 alone. During that time, his father, now the President of the United States of America, was Vice President of the United States of America. The reason why the Joint Base Andrews trips are important is because that is the home of Air Force One and Air Force Two. On Saturday, Breitbart News published a piece from Marlowe adapted from the book that further explained the significance of these revelations. Despite this evidence that there was not an absolute wall between Hunter and Joe when it comes to business endeavors, the establishment press has shown little interest in exploring whether Hunter was actually leveraging his father's power to enrich himself directly. In fact, quite the contrary. The New York Times, for example, published a story in 2020 during the election cycle portraying Hunter as a skilled artist who was mastering painting. The article headlined, "There's a new artist in town. The name is Biden." Unironically featured glossy photographs of a relaxed and polished Hunter Biden working away in his studio. This is not a joke. This is real, by the way. This actually happened. This is how much the New York Times is in the tank for Joe Biden to get to the White House. They're running articles about a guy that's a crackhead that's not an artist, claiming he's an artist. The American public has been told consistently that Hunter Biden is as pure as the snow, the white, beautiful snow that is in Delaware around Joe Biden and his family's home. Joe Biden called his son the, quote, smartest guy I know. Dr. Joe Biden and Joe both expressed confidence that Hunter had done nothing wrong. And of course, Joe said he thought it was all Russian disinformation with his son's laptop. And of course, Facebook and Twitter famously censored, as I mentioned earlier, that bombshell reporting by the New York Post on Hunter Biden that has been proven to be authentic and has not been proven to be, quote, Russian or disinformation. The fact that Hunter Biden flew through Joint Base Andrews during the Obama administration more than 20 times into nearly 30 countries on 411 total trips, this is coming from the Secret Service record, seems to contradict claims that Joe Biden made when he was running for president in 2019. He said at the time, quote, I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. That's the biggest load of crap ever. Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, didn't work for the United States government. He was a private citizen. Let's just go through the math here, okay? There are many. Michael Reagan flew with his dad, Ronald Reagan, right? Did he do it 411 times in that short span? Of course not. Because he actually had to have a job and work and, like, do stuff. The Bush twins, for example, they flew a lot with their dad when he was president. When we were on the campaign, I was with them when they flew for campaign events. But outside of campaign events, they weren't making 411 flights. Okay, they weren't making 411 flights when they were grown adults or when they were getting older. That's, who has time to do that? The reason why Hunter Biden had time to do it is because Hunter Biden basically hoarded out his entire life to his father and said, where are we going and where can we do business? Where are we going, Dad, this week, and where can I go make some money this week, Dad? That is what was happening. That's what this was. That's what this is. It's very clear that's what this is. It's very obvious that that's what was going on here. This was all about going out there and doing whatever you can to make as much money as you can for the family mafia business. And it is a mafia business. I want to make that clear. The bag man is his brother, who's under federal investigation, and his son, who's under federal investigation, which many believe will be covered up because he's the current President of the United States of America. I have no doubt that there will be probably a cover-up here. I don't believe that Hunter Biden's going to get in trouble. I don't believe that Joe Biden's brother is going to get in trouble, because look at what we're talking about right now and look at what they've been able to already get away with. Can you imagine if Donald Trump's son was able to have solely business related to his father while he's in the White House, had no experience in those businesses or industries ever, and then was taking all these flights and making all this money, the media would have lost their minds. There would be investigations, federal, civil, and in Congress,
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the talking points that the establishment media and the reason why they haven't covered this story are pretty clear. Remember when there was an absolute wall between Hunter and Joe Biden? That's what we were also told. Let me go back and remind you. Joe Biden said August the 28th, I remember this because it was my birthday, 2019. Biden came out and pledged, as he called it, because he was feeling some heat from his family, from his brother, from his son. Biden pledged, quote, an absolute wall between job and the family business. This is coming from a headline from the Associated Press, Spartanburg, South Carolina, August 28, 2019. Quote, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden said Wednesday that in all his decades in public office, he has never talked to any family members about their private business dealings. So let me get this straight. You have a son who's on 400 plus flights with you that we know about while you're the vice president. He's on these flights going to do business in all the places he's flying with you because he's not going on behalf of the family or behalf of the U.S. government. And you're telling me that never one time did you say, hey, son, what do you got going on in Bangladesh? What do you got going on in Ukraine? What do you got going on in China this week while you're with me on these flights that are 20 hours, 18 hours, however long they are, depending on where you're going in the world? You're telling me that when you got on the plane, you didn't say, what the hell are you doing this week, son? On the way home, you didn't say, hey, how did your meetings go, son? What did you do this week while I was busy being the vice president? While you're getting on the planes with me, you never asked any of those questions. I don't believe that crap for a second, because if you're a father, you would ask those questions. Back to the lies of Joe Biden. I've never talked to any family members. This would include his brothers under federal investigation about their private business dealings. And he promised, again, this is 2019, August 28th, quote, an absolute wall between government and his family's financial interests should he be elected president. Biden's remarks followed scrutiny of the business activities of his son Hunter and his brother James Biden, a spotlight that Republicans, including Donald Trump, have been eager to shine on Democrats. I have never discussed, quote, with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period. Biden told reporters at a campaign stop in South Carolina. Politico reported earlier this year that Hunter and James Biden sometimes try to leverage Joe Biden's political ties to attract investors for a hedge fund. Trump's allies, including, and who now they're trying to get payback for, right, exposing all this, former New York Governor New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and Republican Party operatives also have highlighted Hunter Biden's service on the board of an energy firm owned by a Ukrainian oligarch, at the same time that Joe Biden played a key role in the Obama administration's Ukraine policy. In fact, Diaz, I'm going to call an audible here. Will you please find and grab that audio of Joe Biden talking about how he got the key prosecutor in Ukraine fired by withholding, threatening to withhold American funds to Ukraine, and that prosecutor was investigating this business that Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, sat on the board of. Back to this article from 2019. The Washington Examiner newspaper reported earlier this week that the younger Biden's decision to join the board of Burisma Holdings in 2014 was enough to make his business partner, Christopher Hines, a stepson of then-Secretary of State John Kerry, raise questions with the State Department and later cut business ties with Hunter Biden. So Chris Hines, stepson of Secretary of the State John Kerry, was even smart enough to go, this is stupid, you getting this job with Burisma Holdings in Ukraine. I'm going to cut business ties with Hunter Biden because this is too big of a risk. Even he got it. Joe Biden's campaign answered that Trump simply wants to deflect from his own conflicts of interest from foreign business deals. Biden said that he imposed the same standards in his administration that were in place when he served as President Barack Obama's second command. Well, apparently there were no rules when you were the vice president because your son was able to fly with you 400 plus trips, flights with you to go whore out the United States of America, your administration, the Biden administration, the Obama administration to the highest bidder, regardless of who they were, an oligarch in Ukraine or even a mayor of Moscow. You guys didn't care who you did business with. The Chinese Communist Party, you didn't care. You had your son making money from the worst people in the world. Back to what Biden said at the time. He said, quote, there will be an absolute wall between personal and private and the government. There wasn't any hint of scandals at all when we were there, and I will impose the same kind of strict rules. That's why I never talked to my son or my brother or anyone else in the distant family about their business interests, period. There's no way that's true. 400 plus flights while you're the vice president? Come on, man, to quote Joe Biden. The issue offers a glimpse of how a potential general election matchup between Biden and Trump might go, the AP wrote in 19, and highlights Trump's turning, sometimes quite effectively, his own political weakness and political legal problems back on his opponents. Biden is building his candidacy around the argument that Trump is morally unfit for office and a danger to the world stage. Themes he hit again on Wednesday as he campaigned in South Carolina and North Carolina. Well, we now know that what he was saying back then is all lies. It's all lies. It is all lies. Every bit of this is a lie. Now, I go back to Hunter Biden. Remember Joe Biden when he was bragging about the guy who was the top prosecutor in Ukraine who happened to be investigating his son's company, Burisma Holdings, and how he said, I've got these funds and I'm going to hold these funds unless you fire the prosecutor you got till 6 o'clock today. Remember, he bragged about this publicly. Now, for a guy that claims he never had conversations with his son about his business dealings, I have a hard time believing he just randomly knew which prosecutor to fire. Take a listen.
I remember going over convincing our team or others to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "Nah," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion." I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
He got fired. There it is. It's all you need to know, right? He got fired. He got fired. Same prosecutor that is actively investigating his son's company that he sits on the board in Ukraine, that he knows nothing about the industry, where hell, he doesn't even speak the language that the board is speaking. And you want me to believe that you didn't know this was going on? That you didn't know that he was investigating your son's company because you guys don't talk business on 400 plus flights? Come on, man, to quote Joe Biden. And none of the media is covering this, by the way. This is why you're getting this story right here, right now, because the media refuses to do their job because all they are is basically talking heads. They basically work directly for the Biden administration. They're not asking any questions. They're not doing any research. They're looking the other way, deliberately, on purpose.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course. The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One other thing I want to say about this Hunter Biden expose, this huge story. That Hunter Biden was on all these flights, took 411 trips across 29 countries between 09 and the middle of 14. That included 23 flights in or out of Joint Andrews Air Force Base, home of Air Force One and Air Force Two. The fact that the media refuses to look at this story tells you they know there's something there. They know. You and I have been lied to. When Joe Biden said there's an absolute wall between Hunter and Joe when it came to our business endeavors, that's a lie. The establishment press showing no interest in exploring whether Hunter was actually leveraging his father's power to enrich himself, even when we have recordings of him talking about it and we have emails of him doing exactly that, that they actually did the opposite of that. They started publishing propaganda stories. This is what happens, by the way, in communist country and socialist countries and dictator countries. The New York Times ran a propaganda story in 2020 portraying Hunter Biden as a skilled artist who is mastering painting. Not a guy who fathered a child with a stripper and refused to pay for that child and the child's basic needs. A kid that he refused to admit he was the father of. No one asked Joe Biden about that question, right? No, no, no. This is propaganda. This is what actual media, political propaganda, same type of propaganda you would see in socialist countries when you have state-run media. The New York Times, which is nothing more than a state-run media now for the Democratic Party, for the Socialist Party, for Hunter Biden, for Joe Biden, for Barack Obama, for AOC, for all of these people. When you start running a story portraying Hunter as a skilled artist, the only thing this guy does well is cut lines of coke. The article's headline was actually this: there's a new artist in town. The American public has been lied to, consistently told that Hunter Biden is as pure and as can be, that he's the smartest person he knows. Remember, the smartest guy I know, quote unquote, is what Joe Biden said. Facebook, Twitter, censoring that bombshell report by the New York Post on Hunter Biden. My question is this: did any of those in the media who supported the suppression of the Hunter Biden email story investigate exactly where Hunter was going on any of these 411 trips and with whom he was with? The answer is no. NBC News, no. Washington Post, no. Washington Post even run stories about Hunter Biden without any of this information in there, not asking questions. New York Times, MSNBC, PBS, NPR, CBS News, CNN, Rolling Stones, Business Insider, Newsweek, USA Today, Mother Jones, Vox, none of these. All of them have been involved in disinformation campaigns that protected the Bidens and the dishonest tech elite who also banned stories that hurt Joe Biden. There's now hard evidence to the contrary of what their reporting said. Doesn't seem to matter to these people who had an election to win and public to misinform. Here's a basic question any journalist should be asking. Why was Hunter Biden flying to and from an American military base when he's been dishonorably discharged? Why is he around the President of the United States, President of the United States of America, all of this time doing business dealings when he gets off the plane? I mean, imagine thinking about this real quick. You're on a plane, and I want you to think about this leverage. And we've seen this type of leverage be talked about from Hunter Biden. So I'm not going like off the grid here with some sort of hypothetical. Okay, I want to make that clear. What I'm about to say to you is very consistent with Hunter Biden's own emails. Think about power. Proximity to power is leverage, especially in politics. You're Hunter Biden. You get off a plane in a foreign country like China. You need billions of dollars in loans. You go meet with the banks in China to get the billions of dollars of loans. You walk in and people say, how was your flight? Oh, it's great. I spent some good time with my father, who happens to be the vice president of the United States of America. We were actually talking about this great country that we're in right now, China, and all these things that you need. Those businessmen then tell you what they may need. You're telling me that that's not using leverage? Does Hunter Biden get any of those loans without his father being the sitting vice president of the United States of America? No way in hell. No way in hell. He gets any of those loans. Does he get the job on the board of Burisma in Ukraine if his father's not the vice president of the United States of America in charge of Ukraine policy? No way in hell. We all know this. It's a fact. There's no way that he would get any of these jobs. No way in hell. Would he be able to make millions of dollars in businesses that he knows nothing about without his father being the active president, him being able to leverage, hey, I just got the plane with my daddy, flew here with my daddy from Andrews Air Force Base on Marine One, or I mean on Air Force Two or Air Force One even sometimes. I'll go back to it. No way in hell. 411 trips, 23 foreign countries. Hunter Biden did one thing well. Hunter Biden understood, and Joe Biden understood it, and his brother understood it. While daddy's in the White House or next to the White House, while he's the vice president, we have got to get it while we can. They basically paralleled any business dealings that his dad had anywhere in the world to their private business dealings. That is the news story that everybody should be running. Hunter Biden paralleled his father's dealings, foreign policy dealings around the world, directly with his father's travel. If his father had power, influence, or was going somewhere, they were going to figure out a way to make money. That's why there's 400 plus trips to foreign countries. These trips, 23 different countries. That's why this happened. This is all about a massive, corrupt Ponzi scheme, a mafia-style scheme by this administration. That's a fact. This was mafia style. The kingpin gets off the plane and the dirty business gets done behind the scenes. Joe Biden walks down the big staircase. Hunter Biden and his brother, they walk off the back of the plane, disappear into society in these other countries and get the deals done. They make the money. By the way, this is no different than the corruption going on in this country right now that's also being covered up. Don't think that I'm just picking on Hunter Biden tonight. Let's look at Governor Whitmer in Michigan. She's now been busted. Gretchen Whitmer has been busted violating her own coronavirus orders at a dive bar over the weekend. She hit the bar and violated her own coronavirus orders, according to new photos that have been exclusively obtained by Breitbart News. They seem to be the only ones, by the way, doing any good journalism right now. Whitmer was with a large group of friends, including her appointed chief operations officer, Trisha Foster. They visited the Land Shark in East Lansing, Michigan. While there, she violated her own restaurant orders in the process that just were updated on the 15th. The photo posted Saturday was part of a montage of photos, and shortly after, Whitmer's friend deleted the collage of photos with the governor and her COO in it, because they knew they were in trouble. The group had a shot of 13 individuals violating the governor's restaurant capacity order that was issued on May the 15th on gathering limitations for entertainment establishments, recreational establishments, and food service establishments. Gatherings are prohibited at food service establishments, whether indoor or outdoor, unless consumption of food or beverage is permitted only in a designated dining area where patrons are seated. Groups of patrons are separated by at least 6 feet. Well, that didn't happen. No more than 6 patrons are seated together. Well, they broke that rule times two. At a table, booth, or group of fixed seats, that also was broken. The groups of patrons do not intermingle. Well, that rule was also broken. Whitmer's group also wasn't wearing any masks. A bouncer at the Land Shark was wearing a mask in one of the pictures, just so you know. Last week, the governor refused to immediately end her ridiculous restrictions, like a maximum of 6 patrons per table for indoor dining. But she completely disregarded her own rules. Why? Because she can do whatever the hell she wants to. By the way, where's the media on this? You've got another prominent governor breaking their own rules that they're keeping on people for no good reason. Welcome to a socialist government takeover. When the media doesn't report the real news, they only report stories to protect those in power. This is when you know you're losing in this country.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me now to talk about this is a woman who is running for governor against Gretchen Whitmer. She is announced as a Republican, Tudor Dixon. You can find out more about her at TudorDixon.com. Tudor, I want to go back to this apology real quick here because I think it's an important point. You look at this governor. She knows even last week she's still destroying your economy. She has her press secretary put this out saying, you know, we pushed these tables together. Oops, my bad. We're all vaccinated, so it should have been fine. But again, now you understand why we didn't think about it. So she's even admitting that she's not following the science and her own logic in her lockdown rules that are still in effect, which is 6 people maximum at a table, can't be in the same household, got to be 6 feet apart. She says, I made a mistake. I apologize. Do you buy this at all?
No, because we're not allowed to make mistakes. In fact, how did the restaurant even make that mistake? Because our restaurants are being closed down if you make mistakes like this. But she's getting very good at figuring out how to manage a personal crisis like this. I mean, this is just, we're 2-3 weeks off of finding out that she took a private jet from donors, and who knows how that was even paid for. Was it paid for by a C4 connected to her? Did she pay $800 for her own seat? How did that actually happen? And then she went to the dreaded state of Florida, where she told all of the Michiganders, you can't go to Florida for spring break. Whatever you do, do not go to Florida. She went to Florida. She lied to the people of Michigan. She came back. She wasn't vaccinated when she went to Florida. She came back and then she lied some more. So she's like in this mode where she's trying to figure out exactly how to handle her own screw ups when she doesn't follow her own orders. Her PR people must be like, well, again, we've gone 14 days. We got to have another one.
And just so people understand, when she was telling people not to go to Florida for spring break, the reason why she was warning people not to do it, her logic was what?
Her logic was that if you go to Florida, you're going to be bringing the virus back to Michigan because Florida was open and free. And there was in her mind, the virus was just free flowing. And it was just too dangerous to go there, and you just had too much of a chance of bringing it back. And you have to remember that at that time, Michigan was the highest number of cases in the nation. We were just raging with coronavirus. So she was telling people, you know, we just can't afford to have any more of the virus come back here, because she said there's also one of the different variants was happening in Florida, and we could bring that back to Michigan, and it would be just catastrophic. But it just doesn't apply to her. And when she and then the really twisted part about this is you have to understand, for people like me who lost a loved one in the middle of this pandemic and didn't get to say goodbye because my grandmother died in a nursing home because of these policies, and we weren't allowed to go in and see her. She was lonely. She had a broken heart. We had to look at her through a window and say goodbye. My girls had to wave through a window and say goodbye. And this governor has the nerve to say to the people of Michigan, my father was sick and my adversaries or, you know, the people who are on the Republican side would say to me, if I didn't, I didn't have any family values. No, we're glad. That's great. I want her to see her father if he's ill. Absolutely. I don't begrudge anybody that. The problem is none of us were allowed to. It's the double standard. It's the fact that her family is more important than my family and my neighbor's family and the kids at school. You know, that's not okay. When you're the leader of the state, when you are the captain of the ship, you follow the rules.
Yeah. How do you run this campaign? And my guest to me is Tudor Dixon. She's running against Governor Whitmer. If you want to get involved, people ask all the time, how do I make a difference? How do I get involved? These are those types of races where everybody around the country should get involved and stand up to these socialists and communist governors. You can go to TudorDixon.com and see more about her platform or get involved in this race. But Tudor, you're in a liberal state, all right? It's not a conservative state. I think everybody can, you know, pretty much agree with that. How do you run in this campaign? And I would say it's almost as a caution. You know, how do you do common sense without it becoming Republican against Democrat? And you get these Democrats and some of these moderates to listen to what you're saying, because I'm assuming what inspired you to run is not a Republican, you know, being a Republican candidate. It's you had enough of this governor destroying and shutting down your state, and now clearly not even playing by her own rules as she's destroying small businesses.
You know, we're a purple state. Our last governor was a Republican. We go back and forth, and there is no reason to believe that we will not be a red state again. The problem that we have is that it's not just what happened in this pandemic that has hurt Michigan. I mean, if you look at just a few weeks ago, we looked at the census, we found out that Michigan loses representation in Washington because people are leaving this state. There are bigger problems beyond COVID, but we're going to have a major challenge coming back from COVID because, as I said before the break, we have our manufacturers. It's not just our restaurants, our manufacturers, our agriculture, all these industries. They're struggling to find workers. Well, and we're losing people. In addition to that, we house the most dangerous city in the nation, but several of them. I think we've got the top three per capita most dangerous cities in the nation. We have to improve this state. Our education industry, our education is a mess. We need to get our kids back on track. We need to give them the better tools to be educated and move on and move up in the world. We really need to give Michiganders the opportunity to prosper. And so when I am watching what's happening, because of my background and all the machine shops that I'm friends with and all the foundries that I'm friends with, and I'm going back and I'm talking to all my friends in the industry, and they're saying, man, it's just getting harder and harder to be here. It makes no sense. Michigan's got a great climate for manufacturing. We're in a great area of the country for manufacturing. I mean, we're a two-day or less shipping point to every part of this country. Michigan should be thriving right now. So you have to say, why is Michigan not thriving right now? And it's got to be the leadership. I mean, we're so focused on playing games, who can go out to eat and who can't, and whether or not kids have to get a test before they go to sports. We're not focused on making sure this state thrives. I'll tell you, Ben, when I leave this state and I go to conferences and I see people from other places and they say, oh, where is it that you live? And I say Michigan, and their faces drop and they go, man, sorry about that. I think, no way. We are not going to say that about Michigan anymore. Forget about that. Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, you become a state just like California, just like New York, that has kind of become the flashpoint of what government overreach looks like. What a governor looks like that takes absolute and total powers that many would argue they're not granted, emergency powers that they should never have been trusted or allowed to have. No one could have thought of a scenario where we have a pandemic that lasts for longer than a year. But you look at this governor and just the way that she acted this weekend, and the way that she goes out and pushes tables together and doesn't wear a mask and then says, oh, it's fine, don't worry, we're vaccinated, it's all good, right? Like, oh, we're vaccinated, so don't worry about it. Oh, we're vaccinated, so it's really okay. That's not what her order says. Her order is destroying the state, and it seems that it's just a true obsession with power for her. It's a simple issue of nothing more than a total power grab and control. And I hope, I hope, and I want to get your take on this after the break, but I hope that there are many, many people in your state that this will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. How do you defend this woman's actions this weekend? I don't care how liberal you are. If you own a business or a small business and you see this, how do you defend her?
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the podcast
would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You look at this governor. She knows even last week she's still destroying your economy. She has a press secretary put this out saying, you know, we pushed these tables together. Oops, my bad. We're all vaccinated, so it should have been fine. But again, now you understand why we didn't think about it. So she's even admitting that she's not following the science and her own logic in her lockdown rules that are still in effect, which is 6 people maximum at a table, can't be in the same household, got to be 6 feet apart. She says, I made a mistake. I apologize. Do you buy this at all?
No, because we're not allowed to make mistakes. In fact, how did the restaurant even make that mistake? Because our restaurants are being closed down if you make mistakes like this. But she's getting very good at figuring out how to manage a personal crisis like this. I mean, this is just, we're 2-3 weeks off of finding out that she took a private jet from donors, and who knows how that was even paid for. Was it paid for by a C4 connected to her? Did she pay $800 for her own seat? How did that actually happen? And then she went to the dreaded state of Florida, where she told all of the Michiganders, you can't go to Florida for spring break. Whatever you do, do not go to Florida. She went to Florida. She lied to the people of Michigan. She came back. She wasn't vaccinated when she went to Florida. She came back and then she lied some more. So she's like in this mode where she's trying to figure out exactly how to handle her own screw ups when she doesn't follow her own orders. Her PR people must be like, well, again, we've gone 14 days. We got to have another one.
And just so people understand, when she was telling people not to go to Florida for spring break, the reason why she was warning people not to do it, her logic was what?
Her logic was that if you go to Florida, you're going to be bringing the virus back to Michigan because Florida was open and free, and there was the, you know, in her mind, the virus was just free flowing, and it was just too dangerous to go there, and you just had too much of a chance of bringing it back. And you have to remember that at that time, Michigan was the highest number of cases in the nation. We were just raging with coronavirus. So she was telling people, you know, we just can't afford to have any more of the virus come back here, because she said there's also the one of the different variants was happening in Florida, and we could bring that back to Michigan and it would be just catastrophic. But it just doesn't apply to her. And when she and then the really twisted part about this is, you have to understand, for people like me who lost a loved one in the middle of this pandemic and didn't get to say goodbye, because my grandmother died in a nursing home because of these policies, and we weren't allowed to go in and see her. She was lonely. She had a broken heart. We had to look at her through a window and say goodbye. My girls had to wave through a window and say goodbye. And this governor has the nerve to say to the people of Michigan, my father was sick, and my adversaries, or, you know, the people who are on the Republican side, would say to me, if I didn't, I didn't have any family values. No, we're glad. That's great. I want her to see her father if he's ill. Absolutely. I don't begrudge anybody that. The problem is, none of us were allowed to. It's the double standard. It's the fact that her family is more important than my family and my neighbor's family and the kids at school. You know, that's not okay. When you're the leader of the state, when you are the captain of the ship, you follow the rules.
Yeah. How do you run this campaign? And my guest to me is Tudor Dixon. She's running against Governor Whitmer. If you want to get involved, people ask all the time, how do I make a difference? How do I get involved? These are those types of races where everybody around the country should get involved and stand up to these socialists and communist governors. You can go to TudorDixon.com and see more about her platform or get involved in this race. But Tudor, you're in a liberal state, all right? It's not a conservative state. I think everybody can, you know, pretty much agree with that. How do you run in this campaign? And I would say it's almost as a caution. You know, how do you do common sense without it becoming Republican against Democrat? And you get these Democrats and some of these moderates to listen to what you're saying, because I'm assuming what inspired you to run is not a Republican, you know, being a Republican candidate. It's you had enough of this governor destroying and shutting down your state, and now clearly not even playing by her own rules as she's destroying small businesses.
You know, we're a purple state. Our last governor was a Republican. We go back and forth, and there is no reason to believe that we will not be a red state again. The problem that we have is that it's not just what happened in this pandemic that has hurt Michigan. I mean, if you look at just a few weeks ago, we looked at the census, we found out that Michigan loses representation in Washington because people are leaving this state. There are bigger problems beyond COVID, but we're going to have a major challenge coming back from COVID because, as I said before the break, we have our manufacturers. It's not just our restaurants, our manufacturers, our agriculture, all these industries. They're struggling to find workers. Well, and we're losing people. In addition to that, we house the most dangerous city in the nation, but several of them. I think we've got the top three per capita most dangerous cities in the nation. We have to improve the state. Our education industry, our education is a mess. We need to get our kids back on track. We need to give them the better tools to be educated and move on and move up in the world. We really need to give Michiganders the opportunity to prosper. And so when I am watching what's happening, because of my background and all the machine shops that I'm friends with and all the foundries that I'm friends with, and I'm going back and I'm talking to all my friends in the industry, and they're saying, man, it's just getting harder and harder to be here. It makes no sense. Michigan's got a great climate for manufacturing. We're in a great area of the country for manufacturing. I mean, we're a two-day or less shipping point to every part of this country. Michigan should be thriving right now. So you have to say, why is Michigan not thriving right now? And it's got to be the leadership. I mean, we're so focused on playing games, who can go out to eat and who can't, and whether or not kids have to get a test before they go to sports. We're not focused on making sure this state thrives. I'll tell you, Ben, when I leave this state, and I go to conferences and I see people from other places and they say, oh, where is it that you live? And I say Michigan, and their faces drop and they go, man, sorry about that. I think, no way. We are not going to say that about Michigan anymore. Forget about that. Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, you become a state just like California, just like New York, that has kind of become the flashpoint of what government overreach looks like.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In a huge story, and that is the governor of Michigan, Governor Whitmer, there is a photo released of her at a bar, a dive bar with friends. She broke all of her rules that they just updated on the 15th. She says, well, it was really okay because we all arrived. We pushed our tables together. My bad. We were all vaccinated. That's not part of her rules. We didn't stop to think about it. I don't believe that either. I think she definitely thought about it. She says, in retrospect, quote, I should have thought about it. I'm human. I made a mistake and I apologize. Join me now is a candidate for governor of Michigan, a Republican. Tudor Dixon, who announced her candidacy against Governor Whitmer last week. You can find more about her at TudorDixon.com. Tudor, when she says she just forgot and didn't think about it, right? She said, I should have thought about it. If a restaurant said the same thing to the authorities when they come, or a manufacturing business, right? You have a lot of manufacturers in your state. If they are... If they are caught not distancing and their employees not having all the PPE equipment the right way, they are shut down. This excuse would not matter to the authorities in the state. And there's restaurant after restaurant that's actually been shut down, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I have to say, most Michiganders are going to find that excuse hard to believe because we all know that when we walk into a restaurant, you can see the tables are far apart now. There's not as many tables as there used to be. And there's not a single restaurant that I've gone into in this area of Michigan that hasn't said you can't sit together if you've got more than 6 people. So, and now, obviously, you know, you see the governor. Maybe you say, I'm not going to mess with her. I'm not going to tell her she can't move the tables. But as the governor, you look around the restaurant, it's hard to believe that she can't remember her own rules. But if she has that problem with remembering, then maybe she's not the right person for the job.
Let's talk about manufacturing in your state and the stifling of manufacturing. You've gone and looked at these manufacturing jobs, the organizations. You guys have a larger union presence, for example, in Michigan. What are they saying about what she has done to their economy?
The manufacturing jobs, there, we have good manufacturing jobs here. I mean, we're talking about people that are starting at, your starting wage is $20 an hour or higher. These are folks that in some cases are making $100,000 a year, and they cannot get workers. They can't. And you know, this is something that we're seeing across the country, but many of the red states have said, we're not going to take this additional federal unemployment. The Foundry Association has begged Gretchen Whitmer not to. Many organizations have, and associations have asked the governor not to. So far, I have not heard of a response from the governor. And we're going into summer. People, orders are going up. They're critical orders. You know, a lot of our manufacturers in Michigan are doing military work, and they can't get enough people. It's a shame, and it's hurting these companies. These companies keep telling me, you have no idea. We would be in great shape right now if we could fill the orders, but we can't fill the orders because we don't have the people. Which actually, I mean, if you think about that, really, this is everybody's business, because the orders that these folks are filling are critical orders, not just military equipment, but we're talking about farm equipment. We're talking about construction equipment. So if you're talking about a huge infrastructure plan and you think you're going to be able to do massive amounts of construction across the nation, well, our manufacturers here in Michigan are the guys that are going to get you there. So if you can't say, okay, we've got to put a focus on getting people back to work, then you messed up the entire United States. So this idea that we don't have her stepping in, and even in Detroit, even with the manufacturers over there, you know, it's the same situation with automobiles. You've got to be able to get the people to work. That's hurting Michigan so badly right now. And we're not hearing from her on that front. We're not hearing from her actually hardly at all when it comes to wanting answers. When you ask her, when can restaurants open? When can we sit more than six at a table? When you say, when are we going to stop taking the federal employment? We don't hear from her. In fact, something that came out just 2 days ago from Charlie LaDuff here in Michigan is that we didn't hear from her for a very long time on nursing home desks. In fact, many people asked for an investigation, which she has a friendly attorney general. Her friendly attorney general says, no, I don't see a need for an investigation.
Well, I want to jump in here because we're at the top of the hour, and I want to say this. What you're talking about is exactly the same type of cover-up many people believe is happening in Michigan that has happened in New York. And I appreciate you, Tudor, coming on. We'll have you back soon. Go to TudorDixon.com. You can help her in her race against Governor Whitmer, a socialist governor in Michigan. Congrats on the announcement, and good luck with your campaign.
Thank you very much.
Check her out, TudorDixon.com, and make sure you support. People ask me all the time, how can you help people? How can I get involved? These are those races. This is exactly how you get involved, how you help. Don't forget, if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you share this podcast. If you're listening to it, there's a way to hit share. Send it to your family. Send it to your friends. Share it on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Parler, on Telegram, wherever you are on social media. Help us grow, as big tech is doing everything it can to silence this podcast. We still cannot post on Facebook. So again, please help us. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.